It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein. My family moved to Phoenix in 1975, and it seems like Sky Harbor International Airport has been undergoing changes ever since then. The new large-scale project will be the modernization of Terminal 3 and the eventual closure of Terminal 2, which opened in 1962. So what's at the core of the renovations, and how will Sky Harbor and travelers ultimately be affected? With me for a few minutes is Deborah Ostreicher, Deputy Aviation Director at Sky Harbor. Deb, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
Well, so what's at the core of the changes? What information is out there that seems to be maybe sketchy to you?
Well, we are looking at expanding Terminal 3 so that we can best meet the needs of the public and the airline community as we move forward with the current changes that are happening in the industry right now. And our best bet from our evaluation is that we expand Terminal 3.
And who's going to be moving into Terminal 3, Deb?
Eventually, Terminal 2 airlines will move into Terminal 3, and that will lead to the discontinuing of using that terminal for airline use, at least for the time being. But I want to make sure everybody is really clear on this because there's a lot of misinformation out there. We have no intention of, I've heard bulldozing, demolishing, all kinds of terms about Terminal 2. We have no plans for that at this time. I can't say that that will never happen. Terminal 1 eventually had to go. If we have to take down Terminal 2 at some point, the community will be very aware of it. It will not happen, as I've also heard, in the dark of night, and we will do everything possible to preserve the much-loved mural that's in that terminal.
At what point will we know how long the process will take to move into Terminal 3, at which point there might be another decision to make about Terminal 2?
That's a really good question. We are right now in what we call a 30% study, which the council has authorized us to do just last week, and that will give us a much better idea of what we're looking at. But our anticipation right now is that by 2020, the airlines will be moved, and that will happen even sooner, actually, but that the whole project will be completed by 2020.
Deb, are two terminals going to be enough? I know people are thinking Sky Harbor is a pretty busy airport. Does this indicate that things are not going as well as we thought? It's not quite as busy.
Yes and no. Certainly, we still have room for expansion. Our plans when we were at our peak as a nation and as an airport in 2007 and the years leading up to that, our plans at that time were to build a new 33-gate terminal. But since then, things have changed. Airlines have consolidated, and the economy, certainly, we're all familiar with that. So for the time being, our plan is to maximize what we can get out of Terminal 3, but we also have an entire new concourse that we can build in Terminal 4. So we see that as taking us into the near future, and the reason that we really can't say yet exactly what we'll do with the property where Terminal 2 currently sits is, you're right, we may need that for another terminal at some point.
I spoke with Mayor Stanton briefly last week about the U.S. Airways-American merger that's on hold now because of the DOJ. How closely does Sky Harbor have to watch that, and how might that affect things based on how many flights U.S. Airways has, et cetera, and the new American Airlines, that kind of thing?
That is something we watch very closely every single day. We are in great support of that merger because we believe that long-term that will be excellent for this community, because having American Airlines and the One World Alliance it's associated and a leader with is something that for this community could open many, many doors for us. And while we're very sorry if that means losing a headquarters of U.S. Airways, in the long run, we believe that it will be very good for this community.
Deb, any thoughts? Does this ever come up even in jest, in conversation, about changing Terminals 3 and 4 to 1 and 2? It's only going to have two of them.
It's a constant question and a difficult answer, because people are so familiar with the names of the terminals. Certainly, we need to address that. And at the time that if and when Terminal 2 does need to be demolished, while we work hard to preserve that mural inside, we definitely need to look at renaming. But at the moment, there are no plans for that.
Deborah Ostreicher is Deputy Aviation Director at Sky Harbor Airport. Deb, thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
We briefly mentioned the unique art in Sky Harbor's Terminal 2. With some additional insights on that, I turn to Allison King, co-founder of ModernPhoenix.net. You can find out more about her at PixelPixie.net. Allison, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good. Thank you.
So Terminal 2 has some unique features, including that special mural that Deb Oestreicher mentioned. Can you describe it for listeners, some who've seen it, some who haven't?
Sure. It's monumental in size. It's a 3 panels, and it's mounted pretty high up in the building. And when you arrive into Terminal 2, you can't help but notice this gorgeous mural that greets you and welcomes you to Phoenix. It was designed by Paul Coase in 1960, and it was part of a competition that was held by the Phoenix City Council that encouraged artists to submit ideas for a great welcoming artwork in the terminal, and Paul Coase won that commission. And it was actually voted on by the citizens of Phoenix, so it was really Phoenix's choice to put that particular image up there. It's really multimedia. It's mounted on canvas, but it has a lot of different materials in it, from aluminum and metals to even dirt that's been dug out of the ground here in Arizona, and mosaic tiles, and it's really quite spectacular, and it has a kind of a low relief effect as you approach it. It's not just flat on the wall. It actually is protruding a little bit from the wall, and it kind of glitters at you as you observe it.
Can you give us some more background on who Paul Coase was and how he fits into Phoenix art?
Well, he was really quite a character. He's a Frenchman, and he first came to America in the 1930s. His goal was to acquire Native American artifacts for the French museums, and so he had a lot of contact with Native cultures all across America and really fell in love with Arizona. He returned here again and again and decided in the 1950s that he was going to make this place his home. And what an exciting place to be in 1950s Phoenix. He really took those kind of Native American influences and what he learned and was able to translate some of those into his artwork. You might be familiar with some other pieces he's done here in the Valley, like the murals at the Phoenix Municipal Stadium, mm-hmm. which have that kind of circus theme and a little bit cowboy culture. And as well, if you have driven by 20th Street and Camelback, you might know his stained glass and bronze sculpture, which is a glorious phoenix that marks the entry to Town & Country Shopping Plaza. A phoenix was painted over and it had really seen some bad days in the last 10 years or so, but the Town & Country Shopping Mall was able to refurbish that piece and reinstalled it last year.
You have a particular passion for the 50s and 60s era when it comes to Phoenix art and architecture. I want to talk a little bit more about that and how Terminal 2 fits into that. Is this a style of art that needs to be preserved, and why, and what makes it feel so special?
Well, I think it's just aesthetically spectacular. I think it's really colorful. The spirit and the kind of optimism, I think, is really well reflected. It reflects the spirit of its times, and it's very forward-thinking in the mural, particularly in Sky Harbor. There's a whole panel that's devoted to the future and has kind of a scientific, kind of glorious vision of the future and the futuristic landscape. And I think that really captures the way people were thinking in the 1950s and 60s. And we haven't, since Paul Coase, we really haven't had artists who are working on this spectacular multimedia scale. He was part of a group of many artists in Phoenix who I think have been really underrepresented or forgotten over the years. Some of his peers include people like the good folks who are working at Glass Art Studio in Scottsdale, who did a lot of the stained glass here in the Valley, especially in our mid-century churches, and as well sign artists like Glenn Guyette, who we've talked about on the program before.
Mm-hmm. How does this reflect, and I hate to bring up this inferiority complex again, but it seems to pop up with Phoenix that, Phoenix doesn't have as much history. Is what you're saying about the 50s and 60s art in the same sort of vein, this idea of people saying, and rather than appreciating what's unique about it, it's more like, well, that's not quite old enough to qualify as really important art?
Well, it is difficult to think of things that were created in your lifetime as being historically significant. And when I attended the National Conference on Preservation last week, I heard somebody mention something that really stuck with me, which is we need to really shift the conversation from something being historically significant to culturally significant. And I think there's no argument at all that these murals, stained glass, public artworks that were created during this period in Phoenix are absolutely culturally significant.
Allison King is co-founder of modernphoenix.net. You can follow her on Twitter at modernphoenix. Allison, please stay with us. Edward Jensen recently wrote that the demise of Terminal 2 is greatly exaggerated. He's secretary of the Downtown Voices Coalition and an urban consultant. Edward, welcome to Here and Now.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We talked with Deb Oestreicher a few minutes ago. Now, why shouldn't people be worried about Terminal 2 being completely wiped out? Can we trust the city of Phoenix preserving it?
Well, I think, you know, in what Deborah said, that there are no plans to tear down Terminal 2, I've heard that from several sources myself. Now, of course, that's short-term thinking, and who knows ultimately if there will be a new terminal built, as Deborah said. But for the period, you know, in the scope of the renovations of Terminal 3 and its expansion, Terminal 2, at least the main concourse, the head house part of it, where the Palco's mural is, where the other works of art are, that's safe for some time to come.
How diligent do supporters of Phoenix history and art need to be to make sure that Terminal 2 is preserved? How loud do the voices have to be?
I think the voices still have to be very loud. I mean, we've heard situations before where we've heard promises where buildings will not be torn down, but they are in Phoenix. I think, you know, going off of a point that Allison just brought up, you know, we need to show that the art in Terminal 2 is culturally significant. And I think when the first stories came out about the closure of Terminal 2 in the wake of expanding Terminal 3, that really set off a wave of curiosity, a wave of people saying, hey, we don't want to lose this culturally significant artwork in the Paul Coe's mural.
Edward, I want to start with you, but Allison, please jump in on this afterwards. Is Phoenix getting better, and are people getting louder about preserving Phoenix history? And if so, what are the factors that go into a city being good about preserving its history?
I think Phoenix has gotten better about preserving its history. I mean, we've seen many examples in downtown Phoenix of buildings being torn down, buildings being demolished. And people have come to the forefront saying, hey, we should be keeping these buildings and not allowing them to be torn down. Maybe we've got great organizations set up to help prevent the demolition of buildings. There's the new Preserve Phoenix organization, which is looking at just that. So I think there are more and more people that are becoming more active in the preservation of buildings than in the preservation community, and I know Allison is one of them.
I could definitely speak to the use of technology to help bring people together and get the message out. You know, we had a great test case last year with the fight to save the David and Gladys Wright House, and I think what we learned from that experience is just how effective technology can be. Groups like Preserve Phoenix, Arizona Preservation Foundation, and Modern Phoenix are all available online in various social media formats, from Twitter to Facebook to just plain old regular web pages. And all of us are very accessible to the people. You can drop any of us a note or an email or instant message us. And if anybody needs information about what's going on, and they can just connect and plug right in to find out what's going on and to see what they can do to help out. So I think the ease of technology and of connectedness has really helped us accelerate our power and help us act much more quickly than we could in the past.
And does it matter where someone is from? We've talked about Phoenix and the Valley being a place where a lot of people are not natives. Does that make it easier to find people who are passionate or more difficult to find people who are passionate?
Well, I think sometimes it takes an outsider to help recognize exactly how precious our culture here is in the Valley. Sometimes outsiders come here to Phoenix and they can't believe what they're seeing. We've got amazing architecture, great nature and open spaces. Many of the people who live here in Phoenix or maybe even grew up here might be jaded and not recognize the treasures that are right before their very eyes.
Edward?
Yeah, I completely agree with Allison. The art programs, the architecture that we have here in Phoenix, especially of the mid-century era, is renowned across the country. And very few people in Phoenix, unfortunately, recognize the brilliance of the work that we have here.
Edward, I want to come back to the essay that you wrote at edwardjensen.net. You have the phrase in there about a great airport requiring great art. And I'm not sure a lot of people would think that way. Why do you, and why is that important?
Well, it's a more precise application of a phrase that I use, which was that a great city requires great art. You know, people are always talking about cities and arts, and cities should have arts. I think one of the hallmarks of a great city is that it has great art. And if you take that a little deeper, you know, a great airport, which is the welcoming interface for many people who visit a community, and Sky Harbor is certainly that to Phoenix. It's your front door. It's the first impression that people see when they come to this town, if they're coming here for the first time. And so if your airport is inviting, practical, but it doesn't look like a sterile airport, that sends a very different and very distinct, and I'd say also very positive message to people visiting here. You know, we have great art throughout all three terminals. We're certainly talking about Terminal 2 over the past couple of weeks, but all three terminals have excellent art, as well as the new SkyTrain system.
Allison, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I think that the airport is really the first impression, the last impression, and sometimes the only impression that people might get of Phoenix. So I think it's really important that we show up and have a great arts program integrated in the new build-out and preserve the amazing art that's already there.
Edward, you brought up Terminal 3. What needs to be preserved in Terminal 3, even as changes are going to be made there?
In Terminal 3, one of the more significant pieces of art that is in that terminal is, and I think Allison mentioned this a little earlier in the program, is the stained glass piece, which is above the escalator well, which is above the World War I era fighter aircraft. It was designed by local artist Ken Tony, and it was recently, when that terminal, Terminal 2, was undergoing renovation in early 2000s, it was relit for the first time. The light bulbs above had burned out over being used for 21 years to that point. So it's important that we preserve that piece of art because it is one of the more spectacular pieces of stained glass in a civic building in Phoenix. There are a lot of portable pieces on the walls in Terminal 3. And I think also we need to look at the recently completed terrazzo flooring, which is outside the baggage claim carousels on the ground floor. The Teresa Villegas terrazzo flooring, one of the first terrazzo floorings in Sky Harbor Airport, and it's is also an award-winning terrazzo floor. We need to preserve the art that we put the investment in, we as the citizens of the city of Phoenix, into that airport and into that building as expansions are being made to make sure Terminal 3 goes and continues on for decades to come.
Allison, any final thoughts about Terminal 2 and Terminal 3 and the importance of Sky Harbor as, something that's been there for decades, something that's so associated with the city of Phoenix? How important is it when you think about 50s and 60s to today here in Phoenix?
Well, I do look forward to the modernization of the terminal. Let's just say that. I think that's a great idea to move forward and to modernize it and make it accessible for the next few decades to come. But I do just think it's important to acknowledge the role that Terminal 2 has played in so many people's lives. And I urge the city of Phoenix and the aviation industry to really think about how we could maybe even repurpose that space. If it's not practical to reuse it as a terminal anymore, maybe there's some business venture or startup that could take it over or perhaps turn it into an event venue. I know many people here in Phoenix are looking for creative places to hold weddings and other special events, and I think Terminal 2 would be a really glorious venue for that.
Edward, any final thoughts?
That is an interesting point, creative space for venues in Terminal 2. Some rumors and rumblings that I've heard are that as Terminal 3 right now houses the offices for the airport, some of the offices will be moved to Terminal 2 when Terminal 3 is expanded because the office space for the aviation department might be relocated during construction. Time will tell. I would love to see the Terminal 2 building stay around as long as it can. It's made a tremendous impact on aviation history in Phoenix. I mean, the building is 52 years old, which for an airport terminal is one of the longest standing terminals by number of years. And I think it has many more years to come in continuing to shape Phoenix aviation history, even if it's not as a place where people board and deboard aircraft.
Edward Jensen is Secretary of the Downtown Voices Coalition and an urban consultant. Allison King is co-founder of modernphoenix.net. Thanks very much to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.